What is up? It is the SI Sooners podcast, episode number 52. I'm Ryan Chapman. We'll get to John Hoover in a minute. We get it. You want the John. You need the John. We'll get you to John. Relax. But we are here, SI Sooners, allsooners.com, a part of the Fan Nation Network. And John, there has been so much news over the last week. We've got spring practice rolling. We've talked to Alex Grinch and Lincoln Riley since we talked to you guys last. And also the Oklahoma Sooners basketball team took a little trip to Indianapolis and had some fun in the NCAA tournament. John, it's been a week.
It has been a week, hasn't it? You got to take a little trip to Indianapolis. Sounded like you had a pretty good time covering your first NCAA tournament.
Oh, yes. The digs in Indianapolis were nice. The people were even better. And I hope that we'll get to dive into that a little bit more. That's John Hoover. He's stationed up in Tulsa. I, again, am Ryan Chapman down here in Norman. And John, Norman took center stage today in a little Big 12 drama, if you will. Earlier this week, Gary Patterson, the head coach of the TCU Horned Frogs, when he was asked, announced that Chandler Morris, the transfer from Oklahoma to TCU, had yet to been released. It was not eligible to join up, link up with TCU quite yet. And today, John, we got to talk with Lincoln Riley, and Jason Kersey of The Athletic was able to ask Lincoln, and he clarified his position, his stance. And John, what did you think about what Lincoln had to say, and do you agree with how Lincoln and the program would like to handle the in-conference transfers?
You know what, Ryan? Let's hear from Lincoln Riley first, and then I'll weigh in on it. So here's Lincoln Riley talking about that somewhat sensitive topic.
Yeah, I mean, I would first say on it, you know, this particular situation for us is about something that we believe in. Myself, the leadership here at OU, we think it's unhealthy for college football to encourage intra-conference transfers. Now, that doesn't mean that we're against people being able to transfer to other institutions, any other institution we want. I think that rule obviously has been changed. I think it was a good rule to change. And, you know, now players have the ability and freedom, as they should, to be able to go to any school they want. But I do think the interconference can complicate things. I think the world of coaches understand the big picture and understand all the, that's going to bring along a lot of negatives that I just don't know that we want in this game. And so that's something that we've been adamantly opposed to, you know, for a long time. I mean, I get the landscape is changing. We're certainly watching that, and we'll adapt as the world changes. But this has nothing to do with with the person Chandler Morris. Chandler Morris did a tremendous job here. He's a terrific young man. He's got a great family. Sure, I hated to see him go. You never want, you know, players to leave your program, but I know he's going to a good program there with Coach Patterson, and I really do. I wish the kid all the best. I to illustrate the point, I had another, you know, freshman in the same class that left and went to a Pac-12 school, and we released him right away for the same reason. I don't believe that you ought to be able to transfer in conference and be immediately eligible to play. I think we've got to discourage that. Again, doesn't mean you can't choose to go to another school. Go to any school you want. That's your freedom, and we get it. And so now, how long will that last? I mean, obviously that's kind of it's a fluid situation right now. A lot of those decisions are being made, and we've made the choice to take a step back to see how all this unfolds on a national level, on a conference level. And we're certainly going to be open-minded about it. But again, the person, the name on it is meaningless to us. It's about something we stand for. And I just think, I know there's been a lot of positive rule changes, again, you know, but guys being able to transfer wherever they want, I think being one of them that have helped the game and have helped athletes. And I'm 1,000% for that. But I also, when there's something that we believe is going to make the game worse, I don't want to just do the politically correct thing every single time and just sit back and say, okay. And so this is something that we believe in. I get that some people are going to disagree with that. Some people are going to agree with that. I get it. But this is just a core belief that we have. And so we're going to let this thing, our plan is just to let this play out and let some of these rules solidify. And we'll be open to watching it and seeing how it unfolds.
Yeah. So Ryan, I'm kind of, I don't really like wafflers. You know, I'd like you to take a stand one side or the other, but I'm waffling on this. I am. I think the kid should be allowed to go wherever he wants. You know, I think the whole, oh, it's a conference opponent. What's the reason for that? What's the reason that you can't transfer within the conference? Because you're going to play him again. You're guaranteed to play him again, right? Well, so I get that, and I get the Lincoln Riley side of it that's like, you know, we didn't recruit him and develop him and put all the resources into him so he can go take everything that we've given him, including the playbook, to TCU, who is a conference opponent. I get that. I totally do. At the same time, there's a rule in place right now that says if you transfer to another school in your conference, you have to sit out a year. That rule wasn't just written yesterday, wasn't just written today. It was written, and Lincoln Riley knew about it for sure because he denied Austin Kendall's transfer initially to West Virginia. That didn't really come out mattered at the end, did it? But you know who else knew about it? Gary Patterson knew about it, and Chandler Morris knew about it. When they decided that he was going to transfer to TCU, they knew about that rule. They knew that there was a rule in place blocking the initial eligibility, the immediate eligibility of a transfer. So I kind of see both sides of it. Ultimately, what's going to happen, the media, the quote-unquote liberal media, right? The media is going to get a hold of it, which we already have. Everybody's going to try and shame Lincoln Riley, which they already have. And it's going to eventually come to a point where Lincoln does, I'm guessing, pretty much the exact same thing he did with Austin Kendall, which is, okay, we've made our point. We've said our piece. We don't think this should be allowed. We think it hurts college football. He said that today. And ultimately, he's going to relent. He's going to sign the grant and aid waiver that allows him both scholarship, both financial aid, and immediate eligibility. And Gary Patterson's going to say, hey, good, we got a new quarterback that can get in and sit behind Max Duggan for a couple of years.
Yeah, this is one of those things that this is what makes the transfer business so complicated and murky, John. There are these rules, but then you have the rules kind of get bent and circumvented because the teams can just say, okay, fine, whatever. Or when you're talking about transfers on the large scale, the NCAA having to rule case by case, things like that. I understand both sides of it. And I think exactly what you said, John. Lincoln has said his piece. He's gotten his point of view out there. He's gotten Oklahoma's point of view on the record yet again. I think he's made his case, and eventually Chandler Morris will be released to join. This is where my solution, and maybe I just am overly simplistic about things, but I just feel like it's one of those things that you can grant the one-time transfer and give that immediate eligibility, but I would just say it has to come after you've spent 2 years on one campus. That would prevent the doomsday scenario of a guy being at a school for just 1 year to collect intel and transfer over. If that's what you're really worried about, I'm not sure that we're really grooming high school football players to be well-versed in spycraft and all that stuff. But that would kind of prevent that situation. And then that way, if there is some real true hardship, we see this all the time, of needing to get back toward family, things like that, then you can move that on a case by case. Then maybe that would alleviate some of this stuff. But I just think, John, it's a hard way, a hard issue any way you look at it, because everything is so different, and you're talking about, you know, two sides of the same coin eventually, as it tends to affect everyone anyway. But sticking with the theme of quarterbacks here, talking about Chandler Morris there. Oklahoma, the reason Chandler Morris transferred is because they've got an electric quarterback already in Spencer Rattler. And John, with what Spencer Rattler did last year, how he performed, how he closed the year, It's easy to forget that this is a guy that never really had a true, real spring practice on campus in Norman as the starter to get that kind of preparation. We talked to Lincoln today about Spencer. We talked to Spencer Rattler himself, talking about some of the body transformations, the mental reps, all that stuff. And John, what's kind of your take on how you think Spencer Rattler's attacking this first spring and what it could mean in the fall as Spencer Rattler goes into his second year as a starter?
Yeah, if you guys want to watch Lincoln Riley's press conference, Spencer Rattler, as Ryan said, is also has a little clip as well. You can go to our website, allsooners.com. Also, my YouTube channel, John Hoover Media, has all those videos posted. So check those out if you get a chance tonight, tomorrow, whenever, because they're pretty revealing. Spencer is the one who actually reminded us, hey, this is my first spring. He comes in as a freshman in the summer, and then his first spring last year got wiped out by the pandemic. So this year he's, can you imagine the growth and the progression and the evolution that an entire month of spring practice is going to 15 spring practices is going to, you know, manifest in Spencer Rattler's game and learning, not having to compete for the job, just learning the finer nuances of Lincoln Riley's offense. And Lincoln's going to pull him aside and say, here's what I want you to do. Not game preparation, not getting ready for Texas Tech, not getting ready for, you know, whoever's next on the schedule, Texas or Baylor or anything like that. He's just practicing. We're talking about practice. So he gets to really kind of grow his game and become a lot more of the player. And Ryan mentioned the mental reps. Huge, huge part of that game of Lincoln Riley's offense. So and Lincoln gets to teach him at a nice, leisurely practice pace. I mean, yeah, no, I'm looking for a huge, huge fall. Assuming everyone stays healthy, right? Assuming your receivers all come back, your offensive line develops. I'm looking for a huge fall from Spencer Rattler this year. This is one of the reasons why he gets to go to spring practice.
Yeah, and it was Alex Grinch, actually, not just Lincoln Riley, who kind of delved into the importance of, yeah, you can be on a Zoom call and you can, in theory, say all of this great stuff. You have all these great coaching pointers, all these tips and tricks, but unless you're actually out on the field, unless I can physically face-to-face show you this is what we need you to improve in this instance, or you're going to see this, and this is how you need to react to that, and you can go through it together, like, it takes a certain type of learner and a certain type of player to get those reps and take in that coaching 100% of the way, all via Zoom. And I'm not saying that Spencer Rattler's not that guy, but when you've seen the results that Lincoln Riley has gotten out of literally every starting quarterback he's had, it's just hard to imagine the leap and bound that Spencer Rattler could take. Because keep in mind, since Lincoln Riley's been a head coach, he hasn't had the same starter 2 years in a row. Now, yes, he was able to develop Baker Mayfield the whole way as the offensive coordinator, and I think that everyone would agree that those results kind of speak for themselves. So it's good to see that coming back, and Spencer Rattler seems to have his mind all in the right spot, John. He talked at length about the body transformation he's trying to do as well, as far as how to shave that body fat percentage down and make sure he's in the best condition possible physically to go along with all these mental reps that he's going to get. So really, really interesting to see, intriguing what exactly we'll see. Hopefully some of that will manifest itself here at the spring game here in a few weeks. Now, another guy that's coming back to spring practice, John, is not someone who we saw go through the trials and tribulations of the season's last fall, and that's running back Kennedy Brooks. He had opted out last year. He's opted back in, rejoined the team, getting back up to speed. He's got some new cohorts there in the running back room since the last time that he stepped foot in there. He's got a new coach in the running back room since the last time he stepped foot on the field for Oklahoma. What do we think about Kennedy Brooks coming back, and what are your expectations for him as well coming back and stepping into the fold for the offense?
I think Kennedy Brooks is in for a potentially big year. The running back room, as you know, got a little crowded all of a sudden when Kennedy Brooks opts back in and Eric Gray transfers from Tennessee. That's something that if you think about it, they went from having Seth McGowan and some guys to, you know, all of a sudden they've got some 1,000-yard rushers, a three-time Mr. Tennessee football. I mean, they're kind of loaded. But my favorite quote probably just in the last 5 years from OU football is when Lincoln Riley said he was trying to explain Kennedy Brooks's running style. And he said, it's like you're going down to the park and playing with your Labrador. Remember that? And he's just kind of running around, just kind of running through holes and looking at guys, avoiding guys and stiff arm that dude, spin, maybe he spins away from. Where does that running style come from? It's so unique. The question is, after having a year off, and I wish I could have gotten back into the Zoom call today to ask this question of Rattler, of Riley, of somebody, is there a rust factor at play here? Because you go straight from high school to college, you're starting as a freshman, you're starting as a sophomore, all of a sudden you sit out your junior season, you come back in 2021, and is there a rust element to your game? You know, whether it's vision, timing, I'm guessing there's probably not. You know, it's running the football is a lot of instinct, but does some of that instinct get dulled when you're not doing it for an entire season? I don't know. If it does, here's the deal. If it does, McGowan's really good and Eric Gray's really good, and those guys that they've got in addition to Kennedy Brooks are really good. So maybe he'll have another 1,000-yard season as the featured back. Maybe he won't.
Yeah, well, and you talk about all those guys. You've got Mikey Henderson, too, who it appears has made that transition from the tight end H-back room into that running back room. He's a guy, John, didn't get a ton of opportunity last year, but every time he touched the ball, you just had this feeling of like, wow, something big, something awesome could happen because he's got that kind of talent. The rust factor is absolutely something that I'm going to be looking out for. But here's the other thing is that Kennedy Brooks has not only been so great for Oklahoma over his first 2 years as a starter, he was incredibly durable. And I always wonder, it's something that I just don't know, can you take that entire season off and then come back into the fold and maintain that durability? Or will there be a period where maybe he has a few little knock niggling injuries that he's having to deal with, just because I don't know of anything, John, that could simulate the hits and the wear and tear on the human body that happens during a football season. I just don't know how you can simulate that, even if you are going to the gym 2-3 times a day, staying in the weight room, staying with that conditioning. So that'll be something else to watch. But thankfully, even if Kennedy Brooks is a little bit slow out of the gates, like you said, they've locked and loaded that running back room to give him plenty of support while he tries to get back up to speed. Up next on the SI Sooners podcast, John, we have to recap that trip to Indianapolis.
Hey, listen up. Spring is here, but you know the seasons in Oklahoma. Hot one day, cold the next. That's a lot of work for your heating and air unit, but the guys at Trade Pros got you covered. Sign up for one of their no-hassle service plans. They'll come out twice a year and tune up your AC and your furnace, and you get priority scheduling and discounts. Just call Chris at Trade Pros, 405-316-0598. That's 405-316-0598. Or go to tradeprosokc.com. Hey, are you a business owner looking to get your product out there to the masses? Let's say you run a hotel in Norman or a car dealership in Oklahoma City or a restaurant in Edmond. Or maybe you're a small online business who creates and sells OU merchandise and you just want Sooner Nation to come sample your wares. Well, then consider advertising in this space right here on the SI Sooners podcast. SI Sooners reaches thousands of readers, viewers, and listeners literally every day. And the SI Sooners podcast is the ideal place to find your next customer. To advertise, send an email to allsoonerssi@gmail.com or DM us on Twitter at @all_Sooners.
Like we were saying, tons of spring football news and notes, so head on over to allsooners.com. That is your one-stop shop for everything you need to know for the Sports Illustrated Sooners Network, part of the Fan Nation Network as well. Also, be sure to check us out on YouTube, John Hoover Media. That's the spot. And John's going to put right here, this little box, there's his new YouTube channel. It's a mystery as to why it's happening, but you need to get over there so that you're up to speed when it does. It's very complicated. The powers that be at YouTube are making life hard on John. He's very stressed every time I ask him about it. Just subscribe. It'll make John much less stressed. It'll make him much happier as well. And remember, all of our content over at SI Sooners, allsooners.com, is free for now. No credit cards, no subscriptions, anything like that. So head on over and sap it all up while you can. John, before we hop over to basketball, we do need to put a pin in the offense. We got to talk to Marvin Mims today. He was awesome. But,
first time. Yeah.
I was really struck and surprised by like his drive, because people were kind of asking him, hey, breakout freshman year, what's next for you? And he just never flinched, laser focused, pretty much said, if I put out the same level of production next year that I did in this past season, that's a failure to me because I didn't progress. I didn't get any better. And to me, that's the kind of attitude you got to have, especially in that talented wide receiver room.
I was really impressed with Marvin Mims today. Again, first time that we've had him doing the interviews, doing the Zoom calls. He knocked it out of the park. He did a great job. But yeah, that's one of the things that as a young receiver, he actually said, yeah, I had a great year last year, which I kind of did a double take at the screen. Like, did he just say that? And he immediately said, but I need to get better. There's a lot I can work at. There's a lot more I can do. There's a lot left on the table. So that was impressive to see a young guy say that. No, wrote a story about Marvin, allsooners.com. You get, you know, Jeremiah Hall to weigh in, who's so wise beyond his years. The H-back, the fullback, who kind of knows, looks around. I asked him about the young guys being precocious on the roster, and he's like, yeah. He said, I had to wait. I had to redshirt. There were guys in front of me. These guys are coming in, and the freshman receivers that we've got now, they're coming in, and they're ready to play. And so he was impressed. Rattler said simply, Spencer Rattler, when I asked him about it, he said, hey, you're either a baller or you're not. You know, it doesn't matter whether you're freshman, sophomore, junior, senior, you're a baller or you're not. So it's got some great quotes from the guys in there. Lincoln Riley weighed in on it as well. I hope we get a lot more Jeremiah Hall, and I hope we get a lot more Spencer Rattler, and I hope we get a lot more Marvin Mims, because all three of those guys were extremely good today.
Yeah, absolutely. And I don't really see a scenario in which we won't get a ton of those three guys this year, John, assuming everything goes to plan, just because of how productive they were. But Spencer Rattler did also talk about another guy there, Trajan Bridges. It's really interesting, John, because you talk about that absolutely loaded wide receiver room from last year, the expectations on Trajan Bridges, Jaden Hazelwood, Theo Weiss. Spencer Rattler didn't really get to dig in with any of those guys, honestly, with Trajan Bridges' suspension, Hazelwood being hurt most of the year, and Weiss and Rattler just never seemed to really get it going, kick it into high gear. It was interesting to see what Rattler had to say about a guy like Trajan Bridges, and it'll be interesting to see what that rest of the wide receiver room looks like, because if those guys don't pick it up, there's plenty of talent always going to be coming in behind him.
Yeah, he said he's got better chemistry with Trajan Bridges than just about anybody, which surprises me because Trajan was ineligible for, what, 10 games last year, 9 games? So
yeah,
that's pretty surprising. You know, Hazelwood was hurt. Theo Weiss, you know, kind of dropped some passes, some really important passes. So I guess if you're looking to build chemistry with a guy, I would think his main guy is Marvin Mims, just because of the unbelievable plays that that kid made. But you're right, Cody Jackson's on campus in spring. He's there right now. He's working out. He's lifting. He's running. And he's, you know, going through practice, obviously. And then Mario Williams, the 5-star, you know, SI All-American, he's on campus. And he's doing all kinds of things. And he's impressing people with how quick and how fast he is. That's been a heck of a group. Young guys who are getting a lot of reps, a lot of time, a lot of important experience at the position. So, yeah, I mean, is Oklahoma's passing game going to drop off next year? I don't think so.
No, and not to mention bringing back Austin Stogner, a healthy Austin Stogner after that scary situation there toward the end of last season, a guy we've already talked about, Jeremiah Hall, sure-handed, Braden Willis. He came in toward the end of the year last year as Stogner stepped out, and he made some big catches for this Oklahoma team. So there's always going to be playmakers. There's always going to be guys for Spencer Rattler to get the ball to. It's just a matter of who's going to step up and be that guy, because this is one of those things that this Oklahoma offense is going one direction, and it's either going to take you with it or leave you behind. So you got to get on board and produce, because there's just so many stars, so much talent across the field that it's too good not to get going and figure its way out. It's just a matter of who's going to be catching those deep bombs, who's going to be taking home those touchdowns. Now, John, let's switch gears away from the football field here really quickly. As like we said earlier, I took a little trip this past weekend to Indianapolis. The Oklahoma Sooners, their season came to an end. They went two games in the NCAA tournament, John. On Saturday night, a big win against former Big 8 foes, former Big 12 foes, the Missouri Tigers, in that opening round matchup. That was at Lucas Oil Stadium. And then the Sooners went to Hinkle Fieldhouse and played the best team in the country, the Gonzaga Bulldogs. And John, despite the score, despite the final score, I think OU put up one hell of a fight against the Bulldogs.
Ryan, remember when they open the bracket and they say, will you take this team or the field? Give me Gonzaga against the field. My gosh, those guys are good. So fundamental. I mean, you don't expect Drew Timmy to have, he had a career 30 points, career high 30 points. You don't expect that every time he takes the floor, but did that not look effortless on the part of Gonzaga? Like, Oklahoma could have probably, the way they started, especially the way Austin Reeves started, probably could have taken down most teams, short of maybe Gonzaga and Baylor, but they get stuck with Gonzaga in the second round. As well as Oklahoma played, they had no chance. I don't remember seeing a team that flawless in the NCAA tournament. I remember Villanova had an unbelievable run there for a little while, and gosh, UNLV comes to mind, just the athleticism and doing. And when I say flawless, I mean like every possession is valued. Every defensive possession is do or die to those guys. They were hitting shots. They hit all their free throws. They weren't turning the ball over too much. It was like, is there anything that they do? Mark Few's one of the unbelievable coaches in the country. He's got those guys coached up. That was so impressive. Now, having said all that, Oklahoma played their tails off, didn't they? Man, Austin Reeves just playing with just guts and grit. That was impressive. You would have liked to have seen Brady Manick been able to go out maybe a little stronger in his final college game, we think, might be. He's got the option, I guess, of returning. But yeah, on the whole, you'd like to see maybe Kirk Queth get a few more minutes against certain teams, against guys with big men. He doesn't really bring a lot offensively, but did he not keep them in the game with the block shots, that flurry of block shots? It was like all of a sudden it went from I think a 16 or 18 point game back down to 12 because they started getting momentum from all those block shots. So I thought OU played very well. I thought there were stretches where they didn't, and that's just the thing. Gonzaga didn't have any stretches where they didn't play well. Gonzaga had almost 40 minutes of playing unbelievably well, and that's just too tall a task.
Yeah, really the only thing critical I think you can say about Oklahoma's performance is that they shouldn't have been there, John. Like, if you go down that stretch run where they dropped those 4 of 5, 5 of 6 there, if you just pick up half those games, maybe you split with Oklahoma State or you beat Texas, any of those things, and you probably find yourself in any other part of the draw. You're going to have to beat great teams in any tournament run, but when you're playing a team like that against Gonzaga, you would rather have to play them as far away as possible and show, because yeah, they did play really well, but they were missing a guy like Davion Harmon, because I really think, John, I asked Austin Reeves about this, he kind of played it down a little bit in the post game, but when you pick up your third personal foul with 17 minutes left in the game, and you know, as the senior leader of this team, Lon Kruger's not going to pull you off the floor, that's where Gonzaga really took over and kind of upped that lead to that 16-17 point mark, John, because it just looked like Austin Reeves was a little bit hesitant and a little bit apprehensive to be as aggressive as he had been. Because if you pick up that charge, you got four fouls and you're just one ticky-tacky foul away from being done for the day. Then once it got to about 10 minutes left in the game, he picked it up again, and that's when Oklahoma started to claw their way back, cutting it all the way to 9 points at two different occasions, one with about 2.5, 3 minutes left in the game. So I think OU played Gonzaga about as tough as you're going to see them get played, unless they get beat, obviously. They just didn't have the power power, the strength down low to really contend with Timmy. And like you said, because Brady Manick's having to fight through all of that, it really hurts him on the other end of the floor. I think that's kind of the shooting inconsistencies come from. He's so worn out trying to play defense on guys that are just so much bigger than him that it makes it harder on the other end. So you give him, you know, if Oklahoma does something different, maybe if they play Gonzaga in the Sweet 16, even if they get slotted in that same region, John, they might have Davion Harmon back after that, you know, COVID positive that he got hit with as soon as he got into the bubble, and things might have been different. It might have been closer down the stretch, and then weirdness can happen. I'm not picking OU to win that game anytime, but it's just one of those things that they did everything they could, and Gonzaga is so good that they didn't even give the Sooners a chance to have any March Madness hijinks.
Yeah, thanks, Kansas, right?
Yeah, no kidding, no kidding. All right, up next on the SI Sooners podcast, we're talking to Alex Grinch, and we're talking about some defense. Hey guys, we have a quick shout out to one of our sponsors, our good friends over at Manscaped. We've been telling you about them. Make sure you get that promo code SOON, S-O-O-N, gets you 20% off plus free shipping. All the products over at Manscaped have been great. We've told you about the Lawnmower 3.0. We've told you about those oh-so-comfortable underoos there, the underwear that'll keep you nice, and everything stays nice and dry and comfortable. But, John, I got to tell you, you just sent me to Indianapolis. I was able to utilize the Shed. That is the travel bag, and that thing was a dream, John. It's got pockets on each little side. That way you can slide in the Reviver, you can slide in the Crop Preserver. Everything fits in there. My entire trip's worth of toiletries all thrown into that thing. Basically, everything we get from Manscaped has been awesome.
At the risk now of giving away, you know, any surprises, I've ordered a couple of the Manscaped Perfect Package 3.0s for some of the men in my family as gifts. Of course, it comes with the Lawnmower 3.0, which has that seriously high-tech ceramic blade and their skin-safe technology. No more nicks and cuts. That's important. That bad boy also has that fabulous LED light switch, which if you've ever tried personal grooming without a light, well, good luck with that. It also comes with the Crop Reviver and the Crop Preserver. And now the Performance Package also comes with Manscaped's patented Weed Whacker. Yeah, that's the nose and ear hair trimmer. It's the best on the market. Listen, if you guys got little bushes growing out of the side of your head or out of your nose, come on, trim it up. And Ryan, I know you know I swear by them. You mentioned them. It also in the Performance Package or the Perfect Package 3.0, if you order those, you get a pair of those unbelievable boxer briefs. Moisture wicking, extremely comfortable. You also get the fantastic luxury toiletry bag that Ryan just mentioned. You know what? That is a free gift if you order the Performance Package or the Perfect Package 3.0. Just remember, you got to use the SI Sooners podcast listeners special promo code. Get 20% off and free shipping when you use the promo code SOON, S-O-O-N, SOON. Manscaped.
John, I gotta tell you, some of my favorite days are when we get to speak to Alex Grinch. Not only is he one of the few coaches that I genuinely feel like is not really interested in playing the spin game or anything like that, he's just gonna tell it to us straight, but the quotes that he gives, John, just, they make the hair stand up on the back of your neck and make you want to go and just be the best at whatever it is you happen to be doing. We got to talk with Alex Grinch over here, and one of the big things that stood out to me, first off, before we kind of get into some of the individual guys and the position battles and things like that, there's this quote that he gave about the clock ticking and making sure everyone feels that pressure, and I'd really like to slot it in right here and get your thoughts about it. So this is Grinch on what the defensive staff has to do to get the best out of some of the older guys.
The most frustrating thing that you can have as a coach is when guys don't make that progress. You know, when it's teed up for them to make that jump, and you know, they fail to take advantage of it. And so he's one of those guys that I think, you know, as we've gone through this thing, is carrying himself a different way, which is a really good thing. And I'll say this from a depth standpoint, this is not just specific to Jeremiah. You know, what we need to do is create the urgency within this unit that it's not just last man standing, where if I stay at Oklahoma long enough, I'll eventually be the starter. And that's something we've dealt with a little bit around here. And so what it needs to be, if I don't play up to this level, then this is either not the place for me or this is, a role, that's not going to, you know, find myself playing, substantial reps on Saturdays. And so, again, not specific to him, but just across the board, looking at this, like the competition level, the urgency of a first year guy, a second year guy, a third year guy's got to look like the clock is ticking, man. So that's one of our challenges for all these guys, this spring. So we keep driving both, you know, the high end part of the depth chart, but, you know, the young guys and some of those older guys that haven't had, as much of a role yet in their careers, that the clock is ticking.
John, I think that right there sums up more than anything just the culture change that Alex Grinch and this defensive staff has instituted on that side of the football.
Yeah, Ryan, I think you're right. When you're a coach and you're the head coach of the defense, basically, and you're recruiting guys who are really good, you look at this recruiting class, you look at Clayton Smith, you look at Latrell McCutchen and guys like that. The guys who are on campus right now, I'm not saying that they're going around about their business with a sense of entitlement, but I remember Bob Stoops telling us in 2006, I think that 2005 team had a little sense of entitlement. That's why, you know, they just assumed that because they were already wearing the uniform, already wearing the helmet, that they were next in line. But, Coach, my name was on the depth chart last year. My name was behind Jason White, Mark Clayton, Jamal Brown. My name was behind those guys. You still got to earn it. Even if you're the backup in 2004 or in 2020, you still got to earn it in 2005 or in 2021. And that's what Grinch is talking about, is there's guys on the roster, older guys, juniors, sophomores, maybe some seniors, who need to comprehend and really lean into the fact that that job's not mine until I win it. Just because I was the backup last year doesn't make me the starter this year, because they're going out and they're recruiting guys who are athletically, football sense-wise, the whole total package, they might be better than some of the guys that are on campus right now. And that's what they're recruiting around, some of the guys, some of Mike Stoops' old guys. Alex Grinch has recruited around some of Mike Stoops' old guys, and that's the bottom line. And it's an impressive way to do your job if you're Alex Grinch.
Well, yeah, John, and you just start to look at it. 2-3 years ago, we would be laughed at if we were having the conversation of, is the Oklahoma defensive line truly one of the elite units in the country? That's the conversation we had last year. And coming into this year, we're talking about, yes, Ronnie Perkins is moving on to the NFL, but you're getting Jalen Redmond back. And you're thinking, okay, if Perrion Winfrey can step up, if Isaiah Thomas can just stay on the outside, and Benito and Isaiah Thomas be your pass rushers, this again could be one of those units. That's a change that's happened in a year and a half, 2 years, basically. You look toward the secondary, all the names that are thrown out in the different spots. And we're going to get into that here in a second. But there is depth being built. And the best part about that depth is that you can then have that competition day in, day out. That you should no longer have a cornerback not progressing because he doesn't feel the pressure, the heat of that younger guy behind him trying to take some snaps off his plate and take his job. So that's what has to happen for your defense, for any team, offense or defense. That's what has to happen at almost every position to stay sharp throughout the year and to play at that championship level. And I think that I feel like that's about to start happening on the defensive side of the football in Norman. But if not, if for some reason that's not happening, I feel like for the first time in a while, you have a coaching staff that will do something about it and take some playing time away from some guys or figure out a way to move some people around to get 11 guys who are talented but are also willing to put in the work out on the field. Now, John, speaking of guys moving around, we've got a few guys working at some different positions. We just want to roll through that. But I think we need to start with the biggest recruiting win Alex Grinch has had this offseason so far, Billy Bowman. He is enrolled early, and he is listed as a nickelback, getting some work at that nickel safety spot. How big is this for the Oklahoma defense?
Nickelback. Look at this photograph. I'm kidding. But yeah, Billy Bowman, man, what a... Yeah, I asked Lincoln Riley about that today. Is this one of the recruiting battles in these walls, as Alex Grinch put it, that you lost? And he laughed and said, nah, he said, we can't put too much on his plate. He's just a young guy. But he said, we're going to start him out at nickel. Figure that's the best place to start and best thing to do this early in his career. But he also said, Lincoln Riley himself said, we're going to work him in at special teams on returns. Of course, kid's unbelievably dynamic. He also said, we're going to toy around with him offensively. So I'm not giving up hope yet that Billy Bowman's going to carry the football on offense, whether it's, you know, jet sweeps or screens, tunnel screens underneath, or maybe they try something. I don't know. Lincoln Riley's got the tools and the talent. Billy Bowman is one of those tools, and he is very talented. So, yeah, no, man, I can't wait to see what he's going to do. I still think he's going to do offense. I've been saying he's going to go both ways. Alex Grinch said Monday, yeah, it's possible that a kid can go both ways these days. Billy Bowman's that special. Offensively, athletically, he's going to get the football in his hands and he's going to score a touchdown and everybody's going to go, why are we giving him the ball more?
I'm trying to think back, John, is Reggie Smith the last guy that got serious consideration on all three sides of the football for the Sooners?
Maybe Reggie Smith. What would that have been? 07? Yeah, no, I can't remember. It's escaping me right now. I think there's been one or two who have gotten a little bit of a look, but nobody like this.
Yeah, the best part for Sooner fans is that Reggie chant. You just swap that out, put Billy straight back in right before punts and kickoffs, and I think they're going to be set. But moving across some other positions there in the secondary, a guy we've heard a lot about, Justin Harrington, John, he got hurt very early on in camp last year. If my memory serves me correct, it might have even been the second day of camp he got hurt. We had kind of all thought maybe safety is where he'd be looked at, but Alex Grinch said that he was working at a little bit of different spot, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, how about that? 6'3", 216, I think, is his stature right now, and they're working him at cornerback. That doesn't portend that he's going to be exclusively a cornerback, but they're seeing what he can do at corner. Grinch said he actually injured the knee in high school and then played 2 years in junior college with it injured, without it being repaired. And so he got to Oklahoma and he's like, Coach, my knee hurts. Well, let's get that thing looked at. Oh, you've got some kind of damage in here. You've got some kind of structural tear. So he gets it operated on. Yeah. Second day of practice last year. And, he's a guy. I mean, he is one of those guys that Sooner Nation, Sooner fans are just like, when can we watch him play? When can we see him? I haven't seen him play personally, of course, because I don't watch a lot of junior college football. I'm just saying his highlights are amazing. And that was on a bad knee. He's supposed to be all that. I can't wait to watch him play.
Yeah. It'll be interesting to see, because obviously the question is going to be, at that size, do you have the speed that the Oklahoma coaching staff wants to play that corner position? Is this just a matter of, I've heard some suggestions that maybe you're working him at corner to improve some of his hip flexibility and things like that, then move him back to safety. That all's above my pay grade, John. It's just interesting to see. And anytime you get a guy that's working at a spot, you're going, huh, that's not what we expected coming into today. But it'll be interesting to see how that plays out. And then there was another guy that Alex Grinch was asked about specifically, also might be working alongside Billy Bowman there at that nickel position. And this is Jeremiah Crudell. He's a guy that I think we all remember back when he commits live on ESPN. Lincoln Riley is hooping and hollering. That goes out on Twitter. It's that feel-good moment. Then we haven't really heard a ton from Crudell. He got onto the field a little bit last year, but didn't really play what I would consider a major role. But it sounds like Alex Grinch is pleased with his development. He said he still needs to take that one last step, but Jeremiah Crudell could be the answer in the interim here at the nickelback position while Billy Bowman gets up to speed.
How about the hyperbole on the part of Alex Grinch? In all my years, in all my career, he said, I don't know that I've seen one guy take a leap from year one to year two like he has. So I think he's talking about from 2020 to 2021. They're expecting really big things out of him. He plays physical. You know, Crudell, he plays physical. He can play that line of scrimmage position. He's athletic enough, and he's got long arms. He can play that. He's 5'11", but he plays bigger than that. He's like Woody Washington. You look at him, you look at his height, 5'11". Yeah, but he plays up in the air. He plays way up there. So a lot of cornerbacks, a lot of 5'10", 5'11", cornerbacks don't do that. They play on the ground. So when you've got a guy who's athletic, instinctive, can read the game, can anticipate what's coming, and then is athletic enough to do something about it, that's what they're thinking right now with Jeremiah Crudell.
Yeah, and it's one of those things that this has been the criticism, other than the penalties, that Sooner fans have pulled their hair out about. Brendan Radley Hyo's playing that spot is when you go up against the Iowa States of the world, teams that have those really big-bodied, big tight ends. Brendan Radley Hyo struggled with those guys just because of being undersized. Jeremiah Crudell, if he can be that big physical guy, like you said, John, he plays big. Not saying he's going to go out there and all of a sudden shut down Charlie Kolar, but it makes you feel a lot better on a third and medium, third and short, that it's not going to be such easy sailing of just finding the tight end over the middle, hitting him, moving the chains, things like that. And then also that bigger body should allow him, in theory, we'll have to see how well he can play that run game up on the line of scrimmage, but it should allow him to do a little bit better job of helping Oklahoma stay physical on the ground in the run game, set the edge when it requires, things like that. One other guy, John, that's hopping back in. We talked about Kennedy Brooks after missing a year out of opting out. This is another guy. He's missed a year, but not because of an opt-out, but because of an injury. Caleb Kelly coming back in yet again. He's a guy that you thought initially, once you kind of saw how Alex Grinch likes to deploy his linebackers in this defense, you say, wow, Caleb Kelly feels like a great fit for this. We just haven't got to see him play a prolonged amount in this defense. Any huge expectations for Caleb Kelly coming into this season?
Well, I think it's going to be tough, Ryan. I think it's going to be tough for him coming off of back-to-back knee injuries like that. He was the starter, and then the knee injuries started piling up, and that allowed Deshaun White to get into the starting lineup. Deshaun White, leads the team in tackles almost last year as the middle linebacker. Brian Asamoah actually did lead the team in tackles in his first year as the starter last year. He's incredibly athletic. He's got a bright, bright future as Oklahoma's inside linebacker. And then those guys are backed up by David Agwebu, who looks like a Pro Bowler to me. So, ideally you find a package that Caleb Kelly can play in that allows him to utilize his instincts, his football savvy. He's very, very smart. He's got an incredibly high character guy. He allows you to – hopefully you find somewhere that allows you to put him on the field where he can – make those instinctive plays like we saw a couple of years ago at West Virginia. Game-changing, turnover, scoop-and-score type plays that other guys, the Oklahoma defense, Grinch has preached turnovers, but they haven't really, especially fumbles, haven't really fallen out of the sky yet. Maybe Caleb Kelly is one of those guys that can do that. Maybe he's somebody that can go in the game and create turnovers. So hopefully you find some – because he's such a good dude. You root for him to succeed, and hopefully they find somewhere that he can play, and hopefully he stays healthy this year.
Yeah, and if nothing else, John, like we kind of alluded to there, he's been around the program for a while. I think that he'll be a great leader for that linebacker room in and out of drills each and every day in practice, things like that. So hope the best, wish the best for him, hoping he's able to get back up to speed. But John, keep it locked in right here, allsooners.com, for all of your spring football needs. We've got tons of availabilities coming up with Lincoln Riley and Alex Grinch. And while the book has closed on Oklahoma basketball, looks like the baseball team's kind of figured some stuff out, taking that win at number one Arkansas, rolling with it. Softball still undefeated, about to open conference play up. So all of that right here on allsooners.com. For John Hoover, I'm Ryan Chapman. Stay with us. We'll see you next week on the SI Sooners Podcast.